Hey, welcome to Endpoint Zone episode 8. We are live at Microsoft Ignite here in Chicago. And obviously, it's the Endpoint Zone with Brad Anderson. So Brad has come out to the Channel 9 stage and is joining us for a live session. Yeah. This is the first time we've done this live. It's pretty cool.
This is awesome. This is just fantastic. And it's right here where all the lunch is. And so you got like, you know, thousands of people here.
Yeah, we got like literally thousands of people behind. Awesome. Yeah. Queuing around. It's pretty impressive. So we are at Ignite. The first thing that we've got to talk about is the keynote yesterday. How was it?
It was just a ball. It was just a lot of fun. I think it was a great day for Microsoft. I think it was a great day for our partners, our customers. You know, the feedback that I've heard from everybody as we've talked about this and I've talked about people is the amount of innovation, the rate of innovation, the pace of innovation, and really the rate at which Microsoft is coming out with new capabilities that help benefit organizations is like something we've never done before. And so a lot of customers want to ask about, you know, what's changed, what's the culture difference, what are your tools, your processes, and how is it you're getting so much new capability out so quickly?
Wow, so what were some of the announcements that you actually had inside of that keynote? Because that went really quickly. It was pretty fast. I saw that one of my tweets actually made it up onto the screen, which was kind of weird, but what actually did we announce?
Yeah, okay, maybe kind of walk through them kind of top to bottom. Yeah. You know, first of all, in the area of enterprise management and security, we had a couple of significant announcements. One, we talked about some of the things that are coming in Windows 10, like Device Guard and Hello Windows, that really, you know, show how Windows 10 has been built for the enterprise. And one of the things I love about what the Windows team is, you can actually move entirely away from passwords, and you usually don't even have to use passwords anymore.
It's amazing. Yep. It made me excited to log on to Windows.
Yep. You know, and that's some of the work that we talked about from a mobile device management perspective. From a mobile application management perspective, we talked about some of the applications that are being released now enabled to participate in the DLP capabilities of Intune, and specifically Outlook. And Outlook is by far the number one app that everybody in the world's been asking for. So we demonstrated it yesterday on iOS and talked about in Q2 it would be made available. So that'll be both for iOS and for Android. They'll now be MAM enabled, container enabled, data leakage protection enabled, as well as conditional access. That's a huge announcement. So by the end of Q2, we'll have Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneDrive for Business, OneNote. I missed one. Oh, and Outlook.
Yeah, Outlook.
And then we talked about Skype for Business coming in Q3.
Wow.
Okay. The other thing that we announced on that as well was the SDK that we actually use for mobile application management is now multi-user or multi-person enabled. And what that means is, you know, applications like Office that get used both in personal and corporate life can now have a personal side and a corporate side. And that's what gives us the ability to be able to have these applications used in both, but still keep the data leakage protection in place.
I'm actually going to interview Terrell Cox from your team.
On Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah. So we can dive really deeply into exactly how that's working, particularly around, it's the first time I've ever seen an SDK on the market that allows you to have an application which is both work and personal.
Yep.
And segregates the data.
You know, and it was interesting. I spent yesterday with the press and with the analysts, and then the analysts' feedback was, this is the first time we've even heard an EMM vendor talk about these SDKs being multi-person enabled. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's the case is because, you know, we have the application that people use in their personal life and their corporate life, and so we were the ones who were hearing that requirement day in and day out. So that was all in there. Two of my favorite things that we talked about and announced was we put into public preview a new set of document tracking capabilities for RMS. I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I think about MDM and MAM are really just ways of doing data leakage protection. I think the real way to do data leakage protection is to have the files be able to protect themselves. And so with that document tracking site, what it allows a user to do is once they share a document, they can actually see when people tried to open it, where they were located at, and you can actually drill down into the map and see the city or the town where individuals either successfully or unsuccessfully opened up your documents. And then just with one click of the mouse, I can remove access and nobody can open that document any longer. And that's what real true data leakage protection is about.
Yeah, I thought the revoking of access on a live document, that's really, really powerful.
Yeah.
That's an incredible feature to be able to actually have. And I also thought around the information protection section, actually EDP, Enterprise Data Protection in Windows 10.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about
that. Fabulous feature.
And what I thought was fantastic was to be able to show on iOS the DLP capabilities that we built and then contrast that with what's on Windows 10. And I think the thing that's really interesting to think about is with the DLP capabilities being shipped in Windows 10, because it's in the operating system, there are things you can do that you cannot do, like for example with Intune trying to add this after the fact with iOS and with Android. And I love the fact about how the Windows 10 team is really just kind of like leads and guides the user on the right way to protect the data. So even though the user tries to paste information into a personal application and is blocked, Windows 10 comes back and says, hey, there may be a business reason for you to do that. You can do it, I'm just going to log it for audit purposes. And so the user gets this empowering environment with the security and audit that IT requires.
Yeah, it is a really nice effect. And it's actually a demo that I'm going to be doing in my session a little bit later on if anybody actually missed the keynote yesterday, and today is the first time you're tuning in or you're watching on demand. You'll be able to have a look at that session a little later on as well. Because we're live, it is also possible for you to ask us questions. You can ask us anything on the Channel 9 page. You can actually go in and ask any questions that you want to. You can also tweet us with hashtag EPZLive, and I'll pick up those questions. I'm looking at them right here on my screen, and we'll be able to answer some of those questions live.
And then, real quick, I think maybe the most significant or the most impactful announcement of yesterday in the area of endpoint protection, you know, was the Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics.
Yeah.
You know, what an amazing company this Aerorado is. When we purchased them last fall, I remember the first time I saw that demonstration of literally being able to identify these attacks that are underway and the machine learning that they use. You know, every company in the world knows that they're being attacked, and every company in the world knows they've probably been compromised. And what Advanced Threat Analytics does is it actually allows you to see these threats in real time happening, and it gets through all the noise, it gets through all that mountain of data that you have and brings up the things that are really important for you to take action on.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to someone off stage a moment ago about the session that they've just delivered on Advanced Threat Analytics.
I bet it was standing room only.
It was standing room only, they had to turn people away, they've got to work out what they can do. Obviously, you can watch it again on demand. But they also, at the end, had 30 people queuing, asking questions, because it was just such an interesting piece of technology. And I can't remember the last time I was at a conference where 30 people came up, formed an orderly queue to ask questions.
Well, I think it's just exciting. The reality. We've all read about Sony, we've all read about Target, we've all read about Anthem, and, you know, and it goes on and on. And with these capabilities, organizations now really have got, for the first time in their own hands, a product from Microsoft that allows them to see these attacks that are underway and to stop them before they get out of hand.
And it's really good because it shows why we were making such an investment in identity as part of our enterprise mobility solution.
So we've talked a lot on this show about these four layers of protection: the device, the app, the file, and the identity. And the identity is absolutely the most important layer. All the attacks are coming through the identity layer. You know, we know that when we trace back these attacks, whether they be all the ones that we've seen eventually come down to either weak credentials or stolen credentials. And so identity has got to be the most protected, the most important part of your enterprise mobility strategy and your enterprise mobility architecture.
So let's talk a little bit more about the MAM capabilities of Outlook, because everybody is pretty excited about that. There's been quite a lot of tweeting about how good those capabilities actually look on the surface. So I'd like to just kind of dig in and understand a little bit more about exactly what we've done there. How does it actually work from the user point of view when you've got kind of two personalities in
there? Yeah, so the way that we demoed it in the keynote, what I would encourage people to do is actually go rewatch the keynote, is, you know, within the application in the left corner, you've got what I call the hamburger, you know, the hamburger.
Yep, the hamburger menu.
Exactly, the hamburger menu. You touch on the hamburger menu, and actually it'll give you a listing of all the accounts that are, you know, being used in email. And I can switch from my personal email account to my work email account, and it's literally just that easy. And so I as a user, I'm able to understand, am I in my personal context, am I in my work context? You know, one of the things that the Office team has done is they've done their research on the best way to bring out these DLP capabilities is they haven't wanted to put out multiple copies of the different applications. So they didn't want to have like multiple copies of Word or multiple copies of PowerPoint. They wanted to have one copy of Word that understood how to be used in personal life and how to be used in your corporate life. And so I think what the team has done is really fantastic, because it's not confusing. You don't have this app explosion, but you are very clear, am I in my work context, am I in my personal context, and I can just switch back and forth between them.
And I was actually really surprised that we've made it so that the work and personal are kind of separate containers inside of the application, and there's not the ability to leak data from personal over into corporate or corporate over into personal. If that's what you want as IT, you can turn it off.
Yep, and then if you even kind of continue this on a little bit, all the rest of the mobile application, the Office apps will be updated with this new SDK over the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. And the work that we've done on that is, for example, when a document gets opened in Word from OneDrive for Business, we treat that automatically as a corporate document. Mm-hmm. If a document gets opened from OneDrive, we treat that as a personal document. So we've actually also built intelligence into the applications from an SDK perspective to make a decision based upon where the document is loaded or opened from, if it's personal or if it's corporate.
And that's very similar to the approach that we took, we've actually taken in Windows with EDP as well.
Yeah, good
point.
So
if you're a user that's moving from iOS to Windows on a regular basis, as most people actually do now, because, well, for us, empowering mobility is about moving between devices and being able to have that personal experience wherever you are, that's fantastic because I understand where my data is every time.
Yeah, and everything about Windows 10 is multi-persona.
Yeah.
I mean, really at the core of a lot of the work that we've done, the operating system understands multiple uses from multiple personas or multiple uses of the same person on the same device. And that's core to actually the architecture of Windows 10.
Mm. It's incredibly impressive. Now, you also mentioned that that Android is coming out as well, not just iOS.
Yep, Q2. So you'll see the iOS and the Android versions of Outlook in Q2, mm-hmm. the next 60 days. And then Skype for Business is the next question that everybody follows on with, and that's coming in Q3. And there's a really important point to be made here. As organizations are building out what this modern architecture is for the enterprise, you know, I think Office is at the center of it because as users are trying to be productive on their mobile devices, they want to use Word, Excel, PowerPoint, they want to be able to use Skype and Skype for Business. What Microsoft has delivered here is we literally have delivered the only solution on the market that allows you to have the applications for your content creation, all your collaboration, your communication, all the richness of Office, but all with the data leakage protection to be able to keep your corporate things separate from your personal things.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
I was walking that end-to-end demo through Satya last Thursday, and one of the great things about Ignite, and I think this showed, is we actually spent a lot of time as we coordinated the entire event, because it's all one strategy. And I was walking Satya through all the different demos, and he says, this right here is the new modern architecture for the cloud-first, mobile-first world, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, which actually kind of begs the question, how do you as the engineering team actually make that kind of decision that, because people presumably weren't saying, hey, we want to use the same, well actually they possibly were, saying I want to use the same application for work and personal, but we obviously had to make a decision there to innovate. Where did that decision actually come from?
Yeah, and so the question is specifically about how do we make these decisions about, do you do multiple apps, do you try to do one app? You know, the only way to make that decision is you've just got to get customer research in. And so the research that came in on that was organizations said our users need to be able to clearly understand if they're in their personal context or if they're in their work context. Many times they actually will have, you know, separate applications, like for example, when I open up, like on my phone, I have a different live tile for my personal email and I have a different live tile for my corporate email. Yeah. But there's only a handful of applications that people use in both their corporate life and their personal life. It's the browser,
yep.
and it's the Office apps. Everything else is pretty much personal or corporate. It really is. And so, you know, I think that the Office applications are a little unique here. And so as we sat down with the Office team and said, what's the best way to deliver this that doesn't have an app explosion, that doesn't have you having to maintain lots of different versions of lots of different applications across Windows, iOS, and Android? We really honed in on the desire to deliver just one app that would be able to understand both. And then the logic we built in it is interesting as well. So for example, if an application is deployed down through the company portal, through the corporate store, by default, we treat that as a company app, as a company email, but then the user can go in and add in their personal email. So the only way you make those decisions is trying to make sure you get enough customer input, you get enough customer feedback, and then validate with the user mock-ups, with those types of pieces to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and I think this kind of adds one of those extra kind of validation points to something we did a lot earlier, which was we actually made it so that it was, when we remote wiped a managed app on iOS, it wouldn't actually take the app out. It just took away the corporate data.
Yep.
And now I think people can start to see exactly why we took that decision when we were building the SDK. Because it's exactly what you want. It's the experience you're expecting.
Yeah, because the core scenario that everybody is asking for is give me the ability to be able to separate my corporate content from my personal content. I want to be able to allow sharing of the information across all my corporate applications, but block, in some cases, the share to a personal app. And really, this is even now being regulated. When I go to wipe a device, you know, the employee's leaving a company or they're going to give their tablet to one of their children, I cannot wipe anything personal. I can't go wipe the pictures. I can't go wipe anything that's in their personal life because that's now an intrusion in their privacy. That's an intrusion into their personal assets. And so that you know, we call it a conditional wipe. It's incredibly important because you want to make sure that IT never oversteps its bounds.
Yeah, it would be, well, devastating to lose all of the pictures that you've taken of your kids. Mm-hmm. And it would be a really horrible situation. So to move away from the MAM applications and that kind of stuff, let's move back to some of the stuff that I know the guys out there really love around configuration manager on premises, because we're also talking about the next version of Config.
Yep. Lots of announcements about Config Manager, in fact, this week. So first of all, we're releasing service packs for SCCM 2012 and SCCM 2012 R2. And those service packs really do two things. The first thing that they do is it addresses the handful of compatibility issues that we've seen with Windows 10. And what our intent here is, we want organizations to be able to deploy and start using Windows 10 with the version of SCCM that they have in production today. And to be honest, I think we made a pretty significant mistake when Windows 8 came out, because Windows 8 required you to go up to SCCM 2012 to be able to deploy and manage it. With these service packs, SCCM 2012 and SCCM 2012 R2 can both deploy Windows 10 and manage it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll tell you, as an ISV working in kind of the bowels and the guts of Windows 10, Windows has done a great job with this release. It's highly compatible. We have found very few issues in terms of just not being compatible.
Yeah.
The second piece that we have built into these service packs is we've significantly improved the infrastructure that allows us to be able to take Intune updates and be able to weave them down into SCCM. And the value there is organizations want one pane of glass, one model for managing PCs and mobile devices. Now, this has actually been one of the most common things we've heard from customers who want to use that single pane of glass, is we've not been able to take all the innovation from Intune and get it down into SCCM to date.
Yeah.
And so, you know, first of all, the things that were not in SCCM that we've released in November, December, January, February are all now in. There's just two or three things that didn't make it in. And that infrastructure that allows us to be able to weave down updates has been improved to where, as we go forward, we think at 75% plus of everything that we do in Intune will be able to get put down in a Config Manager. Then as we get to vNext in the fall, vNext will improve that infrastructure even more, and we think we'll be in the 90-95% range where everything that we put up into Intune will automatically be able to be weaved down into SCCM and give you that single pane of glass.
That is absolutely fantastic. It's probably the single biggest piece of feedback that I get, which is, I love the features in Intune. I want them inside of my on-premises environment.
Yep.
So that's going to make a lot of people out there happy. So hopefully that's some really good news.
Let's talk a little bit more about vNext too.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to continue to improve the capabilities to be able to weave more down. Mm-hmm. That's what will light up all the new features of Windows 10. So in Windows 10, you have things like Device Guard, EDP, which is the DLP solution. You've got all these new capabilities that are coming in Windows 10 that are not compatibility, but are actually new capabilities. And here at Ignite, everyone's going to be learning about those all week.
Yeah.
vNext is where we will actually build into the administrative console, all those things. All the new capabilities that are shipping in Windows 10 will be lit up and be manageable through Config Manager in vNext. Okay? The other thing that we'll do in vNext is literally, just like Windows is being talked about being delivered as a service, with SCCM, we're going to be constantly updating SCCM as we go forward as well, because think about what the use case is going to be. As Windows 10 is constantly getting new capabilities delivered down to it, we're going to have to constantly be updating SCCM to be able to light up the new features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a great example of that is Windows Update for Business, which we announced. And what Windows Update for Business is it's just another member of the family that we have of our updating capabilities. But what it allows organizations to do that don't want to use, WSUS or Config Manager, and they're really kind of focused on how do they keep their PCs up to date, they can just do that directly now from Windows Update, and you have controls like the ability to be able to set out blackout windows and things like that. But we're going to have to expose all that capability up through SCCM as well. And so the ability to be able to set the Windows Update for Business settings, the policies, and then all the telemetry for reporting, because the way that most organizations use SCCM today is they use it to deploy Windows updates, Office updates, Visual Studio updates, their internal applications, their ISVs, and it's that single pane of glass for all software updates, and they'll want to continue to do that, and that's why we'll integrate Windows Update for Business into Config Manager.
Yeah, it's one of those, the single pane of glass is one of the biggest advantages of using Configuration Manager and Intune.
You
get that one single pane of glass.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, but as I think about what the modern architecture is for the enterprise, I think it's multi-cloud or hybrid by necessity. And in terms of endpoint enablement and end-user enablement, this new architecture is the devices all being secured by Azure Active Directory with Office 365 and the other applications on top of that, but all managed by EMS. And then EMS attaches back down to your on-premises System Center and Azure Active Directory. That combination is the modern architecture for the enterprise.
Yeah, and it does seem to be landing very, very well with folks. Everybody that I talked to about that, actually, a few years ago, they were kind of a little bit hesitant about the idea of hybrid. And now it's moved into a different place. People are very accepting of that particular idea because they see that they have the massive advantage of scale from the cloud.
You know, it's fascinating just comparing the conversations that we're having today with the conversations from TechEd a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, this morning I've met with a couple of the same customers that I met with a year ago back at TechEd, and their view towards how the cloud can help advance their business in 12 months is radically different. Mm. You know, I was meeting with one of the largest organizations in the world just before coming here, and they said their legal department had thrown up all kinds of blocks about the cloud in the past, and it's completely changed now. And I said, well, what happened? What was the change? And they said when they really dug in and got educated about what Microsoft's doing to protect the content, to protect the data, you know, things like, sure, there's content, and there's data stored up in the cloud, but it's all encrypted, and the keys remain on premises with the customer. So it's secure, that was a big part of it. But it was really interesting, the customer said they're also super aware of the new data sovereignty rules that are coming into place, and rather than try to go build that all out in their own data centers, they want to rely on Azure to do that for them. So that's an example of where regulatory changes are happening around the globe that we can deliver easier for you through the public cloud and through the SaaS apps that we're delivering than you can do on your own.
Yeah, it is one of those advantages. Because we have that global scale,
yeah,
we just get to take that
that's
on
right.
for you. So there's a couple of questions that we've had come in from Twitter and through the Q&A. I want to give us a chance to answer some of these. So Jonathan asked the question about mobile application management with Outlook for Android, which we answered. Just wanted to make sure that Jonathan knew about that question. There's also some questions about the possibility to configure the Office applications remotely.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool if that was something that we were thinking about doing.
No, it's absolutely on the backlog list. And so, you know, things like some of these profiles we just haven't got to yet, that's on the backlog list. And this actually is an interesting time to maybe kind of talk about how the engineering team worked differently than it has in the past.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. In the past, if you take a look at our on-premises products, we would talk about, hey, we need this capability or this feature. Well, does that come in the release that's 18 months from now or the release 2 years from now? You know, now as we're sitting in here, every team has got a backlog list. And what happens is that backlog list changes every week based upon the priorities and what we're learning. And we don't talk about, does it come out next year? We say, does it come out in June or does it come out in July? And so with all the telemetry coming back, with all the feedback, what we're literally able to do is take a look at that backlog list of every one of the teams and just move things up and down. As the engineers finish what they're working on, they just move to the next thing that's on the top of that backlog list. And so we're more customer driven, we're more market and more data driven than we've ever been in the past. And what that's allowing us to do, and I think it's evident, is we're getting out the right capabilities at the right time with what customers are asking for. But it's a fundamental change in how we run the engineering team.
Yeah, it's very interesting being kind of one of the other engineering teams in Microsoft and just seeing how this works across multiple engineering teams.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that actually almost everywhere is doing this. Almost everywhere is working in this
way. That's what you can do when you're delivering as a cloud service.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Right.
So when we do get feedback, things do go into the backlog list.
Yeah.
It's a very active process.
We can get a piece of feedback on Tuesday, change the priority in the backlog list, and someone could be working on it on Wednesday.
Yeah. And we talked about, in the last endpoint zone as well, we went through the current roadmap, which, again, that would have received a nice update after this event because we announced a bunch of things. So that's in there. It's good to start seeing that we're actually being very open about what we're working on and what we've completed, when the features have landed, and when they've also moved from the preview stage into the GA stage as well.
That's right.
It's a very useful thing. There's a few questions that are a little bit more deep and technical in nature. Things like Ranjan has asked, is there a roadmap for Intune PC management for non-domain joined PCs to be well integrated with SCCM? Well, actually, there's some features inside of vNext around specifically being able to do that on-premises.
Oh, keep going.
So it's possible that with on-premises of vNext, you'll be able to manage Windows 10 devices using mobile application management without them being domain joined. So that's going to be pretty cool. If you're on 2012 or 2012 R2, you can actually do the certificate setups in order to be able to do it on-prem today. So it's not one of those edge cases. It's something that people do want to be able to do, and we are addressing.
And there's a couple of other points on that too. You know, we actually added, I think it was back in 2005, the ability for SMS back then to be able to manage non-domain join PCs. You know, the other thing that we're introducing with Windows 10 is this concept of cloud domain join.
Yep.
And it's a lot more lightweight than what the domain join experience is today. You know, and so in a world where you have Windows devices, whether it be Windows Home and these types of pieces that need to have some of that management, but a much lighter touch than what domain join did today. You know, and one of the things that you hear from organizations is domain join is fantastic for these PCs that you would really want to lock down, all the group policy gets applied, but there's a lighter touch needed, especially in a BYO model. And so we have these concepts coming in Windows 10 and EMS that allow you to have, you know, the ability to manage completely a PC that's not domain joined.
And there's another question as well, which I'm always kind of fascinated about this. Do you have conversations in ECM about being able to use things like DSC in order to be able to do some kind of management, desired state configuration with PowerShell? I go back to, whenever I think about this idea, I go back to the idea of thinking about pets and cattle. And I always think that...
Pets and cattle?
Yeah. So
okay.
If you think about your PC or your main device, it's your pet. You nurture it, you look after it, you keep it going very, very well. When you've got thousands of devices, they're like cattle. You want to keep them as similar as possible. So I always think that desired state configuration is kind of good for when things do need to be as completely similar as possible, like when you're managing servers. But when you're managing people's devices, in order for them to be empowered and be individuals, they need to have differences. So I kind of don't think that the two things fit together that well.
Yeah, I think that the industry, we just have got to do a lot better at how we deliver these empowering environments that are also secure.
Yeah.
And I think historically we've over-pivoted on security and delivered a suboptimal environment for the users, and our users get frustrated with that. And all too often it seems like IT become the no people or the people that, you know, say no rather than saying yes, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we've really worked hard on is how do we make sure that we deliver that environment that is empowering for the user and at the same time secure and meets the needs of both end users and IT. And I actually think Terry did a really good job describing this yesterday, and our desire with your knowledge workers and their devices to be able to continually bring down new capabilities to them. You know, for a PC that's running on the assembly line or it's in the hospital, you know, things like desired state configuration where you want to guarantee that device is in a specific state because you've got regulatory issues or, you know, maybe even somebody's life is at risk. That's a perfect type of scenario for that. You know, in the mobile world?
I'm going to have to cut us off there.
We're out of time.
Because we are just about to switch back to the live stream from one of the presentation halls.